this is kind of like a topic that is a hot topic for me, I think.
Okay.
Is that I think that it is moving towards more movement-based stuff, and then I think trainers get so caught up in just, like, focusing on correcting movement, focusing on increasing mobility, this, that, and the other thing, and they forget about their client's actual goal, and
right.
whether that is to come in and look better naked,
mm-hmm.
whether it's to get stronger, whether it's to get faster, what have you, that's the ultimate goal. And sometimes I think that that gets lost in translation, and the coach needs to actually focus on getting somebody stronger instead of making them move better or making their joints work nice. If that happens in the process, that's awesome.
Right.
But
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this special on-location episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are coming to you guys from Kudawari Yoga Studios here in Tampa, Florida, and we get to interview a pair of health and fitness professionals today.
Yes, and we will preface that any jingles and sounds is actually because our little baby Ella is with us today.
Yeah, so this is a five-person interview right now.
Yes.
In addition to us three.
So we have Dr. Jen and Ryan Hustler, and they have a wonderful business right within the walls of Kudawari, which is a health and wellness yoga studio in South Tampa, and their business is Movement Upgraded. So, Ryan, hotspot, give us your 30-second pitch on what your business is and what you all do.
Sure. So, Movement Upgraded is not only a chiropractic and physical therapy clinic, but it's also even an online resource for movement and mobility. So we are targeting more of the active population. We would love to see the healthy people walking in our doors, and we love to get them back to doing what they love to do. And we do that through looking at their movement, see how they're moving throughout the day, because we're more interested in what they're doing the 167 hours out of the week that they're not with us. So get them back to doing what they love, whether that's in being in the gym or at the yoga studio, what have you, and get them out of pain and just get them moving better.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a great mission statement. And honestly, I want to tell the story because I promise it's true. We were kind of following. I got introduced to Movement Upgraded from social media. They started following ET Tampa on Instagram and tagging us in posts. And then I was discussing it with Shannon, and I was like, this would be a great podcast episode to interview this husband and wife team that have this awesome practice here in Tampa. And then literally the next day, Ryan came into Tampa Strengths, dropped off his cards, and it was just a very kind of weird coincidence.
Same,
I don't know if you believe.
Same wavelength.
Yeah, I don't know if you believe in destiny or whatever, but it was a real weird coincidence. But so we knew we had to get this podcast recorded. So I appreciate you guys working with us. And I want to hear about your guys, kind of your past stories with how you got obsessed and fell in love with exercise science and fitness and wellness, and then how those stories kind of intersected.
Jen, go for it.
I'll start. So I got interested mostly in physical therapy to start when I tore my ACL when I was 14 years old doing gymnastics in high school. I always was really active throughout all of my life, and then that was my first introduction to rehab. So then I started pursuing kind of more physical related things throughout high school. I still continued to do gymnastics. I actually had a second knee surgery my senior year that ended my career. I kind of was like, oh, that's a sign I'm done with gymnastics. But going into undergrad, I was like, what am I going to study? What am I going to do? I think I really want to be a physical therapist still after 4 years later, because I had a second bout of rehab, of course. And I chose a degree in psychology, actually. For my undergrad, I just thought that was really interesting. While I was still looking into applying for physical therapy schools, I did, I think, a semester of psychology. Was like, that's not for me. Ryan, actually, I had met him senior year of high school. We were still going to the same undergrad, and he was in exercise science at the time, that degree, and I was like, that makes so much more sense for me to study that going into physical therapy than psychology does. It just The curriculum, I do a ton of research on everything I did, and I just started learning more about that. I love being in the gym. We had kind of been going, and she loves being in the gym too.
Yeah.
Loving your story.
Yeah. And so we just, I switched over to exercise science, and that was kind of like the start of an obsession with learning more about strength and conditioning and just exercise in general. I started getting into the gym more because I started understanding everything more. And we kind of fed off each other a lot because then we started being in the same classes some more, and we were still dating at the time, and we started spending our time outside of class, outside of going to the gym, just reading blogs, listening to podcasts, getting reading books, just kind of becoming borderline obsessed with reading and learning as much as we can, and everything in the health, fitness, exercise, nutrition worlds. And that just kind of continued until grad school, and then we realized that movement is kind of the most important part of everything that we both were doing in our professions, and Movement Upgraded was kind of born from that. So that's kind of like everything in a very nutshell.
Yeah, I don't even think I have to give my background
anymore. I know, but they're just intertwined, because
Right. We've
been together for 8 years now. We met senior year of high school, so most of Movement Upgraded story is kind of our story,
right,
too.
Okay.
So.
And that's great. And, and so you guys went to the same undergrad?
Yeah, we went to IUPUI in Indianapolis.
Okay.
We both studied exercise science. We had a lot of classes together, most of our classes together. So we were study buddies. And
fun fact, though, majority of the people in our degree did not know
we
were dating.
Oh, really?
So we kept it G-rated.
Yeah. No PDAs anywhere.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
I gotcha.
But
and then you came down here for grad school, is that
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was at USF for PT school, and then my chiropractic school is like a satellite campus. So the main campus is up north in Chicago, in Lombard, Illinois. And then they admit like 20 people down here for the satellite program. So we were based out of St. Pete College. So.
Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah.
And your PhD is in...
It's actually a doctorate of chiropractic, so it's a DC.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Now, I'm curious to see about what you believe kind of like the trends-wise, and like obviously being kind of somewhat new to the personal training industry, seeing somebody like yourself and the focus on movement. I mean, right behind you, you guys can't see this as audio, but you have FRC and KinStretch right behind you, which are really big kind of movement-based disciplines or organizations. Are you seeing more trending, like the kind of the fitness industry trending that way, or is it still more lifting lots of weights, cardio, getting on the treadmill? Do you see more general population going towards movement, or still need a little bit more education?
So this is kind of like a topic that is a hot topic for me, I think, is that I think that it is moving towards more movement-based stuff, and then I think trainers get so caught up in just, like, focusing on correcting movement, focusing on increasing mobility, this, that, and the other thing, and they forget about their client's actual goal, and whether that is to come in and look better naked, whether it's to get stronger, whether it's to get faster, what have you. That's the ultimate goal, and sometimes I think that that gets lost in translation, and the coach needs to actually focus on getting somebody stronger instead of making them move better or making their joints work nice. If that happens in the process, that's awesome.
Right.
But
so to piggyback off that, I would say I think that in the like fitness world, coaches are moving a lot towards this corrected exercise movement thing. I think the general population still doesn't do that stuff as much.
Yeah.
There's a lot more Instagram things like what we do and what we've been trying to do to educate people, and there's a lot more of the self-movement, self-corrective type things, but I think majority of it comes more from like trainers doing that more often.
Right. No, I can see, and as somebody that's in that industry, I can see when getting obsessed with a type of either a particular discipline or training modality, and then wanting to just share that with your client.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And kind of being almost a little bit somewhat, not blind to their needs, but being just, you're like, oh, I just did this. You should do it too.
Yeah.
And
yes.
You totally just, you know, you forget why they hired you in the first place for their fitness goals, not your fitness goals.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I could definitely see, and that's a great thing too, and I think it's a great kind of something for trainers to remember.
Yeah, just fill your toolbox with all the tools you want, but know when to use that tool and who you should use it with.
There's just a happy medium. Like, there's a Goldilocks zone for everything.
Yes.
And we just, as humans, I think, tend to swing one way and then swing back the other, and it's kind of like, it's find the middle ground for everything, so.
Now, I was curious to know what the type of clients you guys see a specific demographic, or do you see a specific type of limitation that some people that come into you with, or is it mainly kind of just run the gamut of different type of either they need adjustments, or they need, or they're, you know, former athletes that have recovering from knee surgery or some type of surgery. Where do you think your clientele for Movement Upgraded normally lies?
So we're more in the younger to middle-aged clientele, and they're mainly more of an active individual, just somebody going to the gym that may have a nagging shoulder problem or a low back problem that just wants to clear it up and get back to doing squats, deadlifts, what have you,
mm-hmm.
without having pain. So.
Right.
Yeah, you will have the occasional somebody came in with a past injury that you want to rehab them and get them back to doing whatever. But yeah, I think that mainly it's just people that come in that have had things, been to a previous chiro PT, and it just hasn't been working. A lot of people are doing the right things, whether it's mobility work or adjustments or PT, but it's just not the answer, and it's just not getting them back to 100%. So
right.
That's where we're kind of coming in and helping them fix their stuff.
Yeah, take care of your joint health, ideally, because that's kind of our goal. It's something that it gets lost in translation with a lot of healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something a lot of physical therapists are able to do with the current setup we have in the insurance-based model. It's something that a lot of chiropractors are able to do with their models. It's something that is a gap that we kind of want to fill, just take you head to toe, see what your joints are doing, what they should be doing, and getting them fixed. And that is mostly just people who either have had like nagging issues or things like that. If you've had like a recent ankle sprain, I would say we're not your people to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Get it taken care of, get the everything kind of decrease inflammation, all that stuff. Come into us later, a few weeks later, we'll work on your ankle, get it working better, and making sure it's more resilient than it was when you
right.
sprained
yeah,
it in the
so
first place.
So it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of one of the biggest obstacles for people, is that they feel that they heal to a certain point, or they feel that they're recovered, and then they try to go back at it again in the gym.
Oh, I'm so
yes.
guilty of this.
But then
yes.
they're also
guilty.
And then they usually repeat the same movement or whatever that caused the injury in the first place.
Yeah.
So they're not educated on the proper, you know, how to avoid getting injured again.
Yeah.
It's kind of that like rehab to performance gap, which there's actually a big organization that does that. They're called Rehab to Performance, and I started a club like from them at my PT school at USF, actually, for that reason, to kind of bridge the gap between the two, because
mm-hmm.
we in rehab and physical therapy specifically are really good at getting people back to doing what they need, what insurance says they need to be able to do, things
right.
like combing your hair or like opening the door, a heavy door, or things like just general cooking, but not necessarily getting you really good at going right back to the gym. There's kind of a gap there, and if you just jump right back into it, like you said, that's what we're all guilty of.
Right.
You're doing things that your joints and your recent injury might not be ready for, and so that's kind of our big passion, is bringing those two things together.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I don't have the physical training background. I just have more recently yoga training.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I feel like a lot more yoga-minded teachers, they're really thinking about a similar thing. It's not so much working, like you said, to necessarily beach body or something, but helping you get to where you can go after those goals and bridging the gap, because so many people will abandon a term of physical therapy and then make those mistakes.
Yes, definitely.
Included.
Now, do you guys have any, maybe like a particular, because I've seen your Instagram videos, and it's Movement Upgraded on Instagram, that's the
yeah.
handle? Okay,
yeah.
Good, and we'll include all the links for you guys in our show notes we do each week for
yeah.
each episode, so we're going to make sure you guys check, because you guys have some good videos on there too, for, I think it was a 10 days of proper movement. It was kind of one of your earlier videos.
Yeah.
You guys were doing 10 days of movements and everything. You were kind of going from the top of the body down, it seemed like. And is there anything, maybe even like a morning routine of movements, something, mobility work somebody could do to kind of help them?
Those videos?
Yeah. Okay. What could you describe, just a short summary of kind of one of those movements or some of those movements that maybe people could do, wake up to kind of help with their mobility each morning?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just simple as moving each individual joint in your body. So you're just taking your neck and doing big neck circles throughout your entire range of motion. It's
controlled.
Very slow.
Not just don't give yourself whiplash.
Yeah.
Throw your hair back.
Yeah.
Whipping your hair back and forth, not quite, but.
None of the YouTube videos you see of people doing the hair stand, whatever, the head whip.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially just moving all of your joints throughout their entire usable range of motion just to remind your brain that you have joints and that they should be going in all of those ranges of motion. If you don't use it, essentially you lose it. So we want to continue using it and remind us that we have joints that work.
Right. And now, it seems that like a lot of the kind of jobs nowadays are more sedentary jobs, which is unfortunate, especially here in the United States. So people just disregard that. They don't add that to their daily routine of moving those joints like you speak of. So having outlets for you, and I think, like you said, we were talking about in the beginning, we see it's starting to trend a little bit more. People are seeing the benefits of movement, but it's a small group. It's not the vast majority of people. And I think, I think they're all interconnected, is that a lot of the health problems we see in the country, whether it be due to obesity or sedentary lifestyle, they seem all connected. And having limited motion will affect how much you can get to the gym and how much actual movement you can do. So having those things in your daily routine, I think, is really critical. And we talk about morning routines a lot on the podcast.
Just so important if you're really trying to bless you.
Excuse
me. Anytime you're really focusing on just living a healthy lifestyle, it's just super important. Because when you get out of bed, you think you wake up with those cricks and those creaks. I mean, you run right into a workout that's prime example of setting yourself up for an injury. And we both kind of have our own little like 10-minute routine or something that we do. Like, I literally slide out of bed in the morning and just like into downward dog. And that's like my start.
Yeah.
So important to
do
that.
There's one thing that's interesting, I guess this is kind of not personal, but it's individualized to both of us. And now obviously since that person is here with us, is that we do a lot of holding of her a lot, so we have a lot, especially me, I think I can speak with Shannon too, a lot of upper back and neck tension just associated with carrying her around. Is there anything specific or movements that you would suggest for us to do to maybe help alleviate some of that?
So that's one thing that I wouldn't just jump in and try to guess. And that's one thing that we take pride in, is we're going to go through a full head-to-toe movement assessment, see if there's any limitations, weaknesses, asymmetries, whatever, that we can work on.
Gotcha.
Why take a guess at what's going on, and let's actually find out what's going on.
Perfect. But I would also say that we would start probably with looking at how you're holding her too. It's really common to kind of like crane on different joints and just let her kind of sit there and really not actively use your abdominals or anything else and kind of be in these different positions. So yeah, like Ryan said, it would have to be an assessment. It's always assessment. The answer is always, it depends.
It depends
on everything. And
good
we
answer,
figure that
though.
Out.
No, that's a great answer. That's probably the exact answer I wanted. Because
it's the answer that nobody wants.
Yeah, no, but that's true. I mean, but that's what the answer should be. Huh? And when you look at it and, individualize, I mean, you can't kind of categorize everybody because everybody's body is different. Anyways, So I mean, the way you talked about kind of the way you hold her too, because I have a little bit of knowledge about proper posture, not as well as you do, but I know when I'm holding her, it's like I can feel myself, like just my spine position is just way out of whack, just trying to support her and then trying to switch her to one arm to the other. And then I'm sure
she's moving around and you're trying to make sure she's not falling to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
She's a handful.
She's an unstable load for sure. So
yeah, anytime you hear her like pawing like a little pterodactyl. She's moving while she's doing it. It makes it super hard.
But even looking at posture, posture is literally, the definition is a static position.
Right.
And we're dynamic moving beings. So.
The best posture is your next one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh, I like that motto. Or I like that.
It's not mine. I didn't come up with it. I won't take credit, but it is amazing. I don't steal bad ideas.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I think that's super important, that because I'm sure a lot of parents are dealing with the same thing too. And
have a really good question.
Please.
What are the most frequent issues that you see?
I think the number one disability cause in America is low back pain. So that will be number one for both of us. After that, is it neck or shoulder?
It's a tough one. I think they're probably tied for a second.
So those just general complaints. But low back is a big one.
And probably because we're in such a sitting culture, right?
There's a lot of combination of different things that
cause. It depends.
There's a lot of contributing factors. But yes, low back is number one. Sure.
Now, do you guys get any referral from general physicians? Yeah, or is that something you guys are, obviously you're a new company and are you seeing people maybe getting from their general practitioners getting recommended, hey, you need to see somebody like with your type of specialties yet, or is it still?
I would say not quite yet, and it's not necessarily like our target audience to get referrals from those practitioners. We're mainly like you mentioned, I came and dropped off my card to the gym. You as health professionals and trainers are like the front lines of healthcare. Like you are helping somebody that wants to lose weight, get stronger, what have you. And then from there, you're like, well, if somebody's in pain, what do I do? Well, we want you to be able to send them to us. We help them out and send them right back to you guys.
Or in conjunction. We want them to continue being able to lift weights or do what it is that they want to do while they have low back pain or some injury. And that is something that we really pride ourselves in is, you have maybe an injury or some pain, but that doesn't mean you should stop training. Here are some recommendations for modifications that you should be aware of, or here are some exercises that we're going to do in conjunction with it. But a lot of the times, the doctors that write referrals for physical therapy specifically, and I'll say this because I'm still in a full-time PT classic job right now, a lot of the times they do it more as a checkbox before surgery because insurance requires it. We're not a valued service as much as we would like to be yet. And so patients come in from the physicians and, well, I don't really know what you guys do, but I know that I need to get surgery, but I have to go through physical therapy first. So they already have in their mind that they're getting a surgery. They already have in mind that physical therapy is not valuable. So a lot of times we are just kind of trying to get away from that concept, that referral. Not that we wouldn't accept or welcome that. It's just not the exact way that we're kind of trying to target getting people in the door with us because of that main reason.
Right. They already kind of have a different, I guess, motivation, that's a good word, why they're here. They're not here to, avoid surgery. They're kind of just this next step before surgery. And do you, and this is maybe a little bit, not detailed question, but I've been hearing a lot, because I listen, like you guys, listen to a lot of podcasts about maybe non-surgical kind of treatment methods besides, obviously, what you guys offer, but stem cell injections or anything like that. You guys, in your education, have you guys got any more info on that or any benefits or pros or cons? But I see you guys' faces right now.
Honestly something I think is pretty lacking in the education. At least in chiropractic school, we didn't really learn much about that. Like, I know that option is out there, and that's about as much as I can tell you. I couldn't tell you how beneficial it is, if it's going to work for somebody or not. Maybe Jen and has more knowledge on that from PT school. She's shaking
not
her head
really.
Too. But
I mean, school's jobs is to get us to pass our boards. It's not to help us learn how to be really great clinicians and learn about cutting edge information. So, and we haven't really done too much research on it. So it's just not something we've approached yet.
Yeah.
A lot of times, if you just kind of take care of your joints, as far as getting them through the ranges of motion they need all the time, and really building up your strength and making sure you have good mobility, a lot of stuff that I'll call it stuff, pain, and issues that get taken care of. So
right.
I haven't had to run into that. Now, I do think that people still have some success with it. I just don't know the research to.
Right. No, that's a great answer.
Right,
and I imagine it's probably not for the mass. A lot of people wouldn't get the ability to use that too, because what I've heard, it's pretty expensive and whatnot. Like, this is a much more feasible option for a larger group of people. And like you said, if it's one of those things, it's like, what is it, teach a man to fish or something? In your head.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Like, if you give him a fish. Yeah, if you give him
teaching.
Yeah, he'll eat a, I don't know what the saying is, I'm sorry.
If you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, he'll have food for life.
There we go, that's right. So that's why I feel like you guys are doing
yes,
more. You're
yes.
giving them the proper knowledge how to
yes.
move for their whole life. They're not just, you know, kind of
yes.
injecting a temporary fix.
Exactly.
So
let's say they get
that's...
an injection and then they don't fix anything, they don't fix
yeah.
the actual problem. Who's saying that that's not going
to
come right back?
Right.
Yeah.
So let's tackle the root cause
stuff.
Of the issue and go from there.
But that's something that we also is very, very important to us is that empowerment factor. So somebody coming in to get an injection, it's a passive thing. They're not doing anything. The doctors are doing it for them. It's not very empowering. And
mm-hmm.
personally, that's something that's very important to me. It's super important when you are a patient and you're in pain, you've been dealt with a bunch of healthcare professionals that just kind of brush you off because it's just, they're busy, you're another patient, they spend 3 minutes with you, they don't even put their hands on you, they barely look you in the face, don't listen to your story. And by the time you get to a clinician like myself or Ryan, they're just defeated. They come in, they're hunched over, they look depressed and upset, and it's
yeah.
understandable. They're not able to do anything they want. You're in pain. It's kind of like having this cloud over your head 24/7. So one of our biggest things is giving people things that they can do on their own. Take some of their power and feel powerful, feel strong, trust their bodies again. That's something that is just really important to us, and that's what we do is teach them. Here are all the tools you need to take care of yourself. That's why when we see people in the system that we've built in Movement Upgraded is we take you through the assessment, we teach you, we educate so much, we teach everything about what we're seeing, what's going on. We give them exercises, and then we see them in a week. We don't say, come in, get adjustments 3 times a week, or come in, we're going to do some massage and hands-on. We do that as we need, but the majority of what we do is help people learn how to take care of their problems on their own, because it's so important.
That's great, and that's something, too, I think, that because some people, especially with chiropractic, and I don't know if I've
said
chiropractic.
I
kind of
like
that. Is there a
practory? At this day and age, I think that some people could think that our profession is chiropractic.
Yeah.
It sounds like some crazy profession. But, yeah.
I like that.
But
that
sorry. I try to take a shot at vocabulary once in a while and I fall flat on my face.
You're not the only
that's
one that
right.
said chiropractic, so you're not alone.
But I feel like a lot of people think, and I've heard people say, it's that it's almost relies on you going back every so often for the adjustments, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what those doctors rely on. And obviously, you know, you have your doctor of
chiropractic.
Yes. So but obviously you guys have a different approach. You got the more holistic, comprehensive approach to it, which I think is awesome. And I wonder where you guys kind of, you're in here, you guys kind of have a synergistic relationship with the Kudwari store studio. Do you hope to obviously transition to, you know, a standalone facility, or do you want to be always kind of associated with like a bigger wellness center like this, kind of like a multifaceted wellness center like this?
I think that would be the ultimate goal. I mean, we don't necessarily have any ambition to open up our own practice and have all of the stresses of owning a big location and business and all of the overhead that's associated with it. And just to have all the practitioners under one roof, to have yoga classes and fitness classes under one roof, and just to be able to kind of, hey, I think you would really benefit from a massage. Like, literally walk 5 feet next door and go get a massage. Or
it's just nice
you know.
To be around other practitioners, too. We learn from each other, and the relationships, just the general connection and community here, it's just so nice that I can't imagine us going out and doing something completely on our own, because we enjoy all of those aspects of being here, so.
Right. Well, this is a great setup.
Yeah.
And I know we've always talked about, like, where,
our dream as far as, like, what we want to do someday.
Like, opening our own, it's kind of similar to this, like, something that has all different aspects of fitness and everything
yes.
you could ever want under
mm-hmm.
one's kind of, under one roof. So this is, honestly, I mean, we're very jealous of you guys. So. And in this facility, we're going to take pictures after this for sure, so you guys who are listening can take a look at it. I know, you know, we have listeners all across the country, but, you know, there, I'm sure there's maybe similar locations in their cities that have these type of comprehensive services all in one location. So I think that seeking those out is kind of one of the, you really owe it to yourself, you know, especially if you want to feel better, if you want to live better, if you want to move better. Obviously with movement upgraded, that's kind of one of the main goals, but overall health is kind of what places like these are focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of an awesome thing. I'm glad I'm kind of seeing, hopefully we're seeing the health and fitness field trend more to that.
I think
more.
That we
yeah.
definitely are. It's becoming more popular because I don't think the healthcare system that we have right now, I'm not going to get into politics and all that, but I just don't think we're doing that great of a job because of all of just the caveats with it. They just can't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the healthcare professionals just simply, their hands are tied with how everything is and reimbursement's going down and things like that.
Right.
We're just not that great at it. So there is such a need for us to join healthcare practitioners to join fitness individuals. And
right.
that's what Ryan keeps saying that we're is really important to us. And it just makes so much sense. Like, you guys, as the fitness people, are the front line of healthcare,
right.
preventing things, because we're not very good at treating it once
yeah.
it's already there.
Yeah.
And exercise is the number one thing for majority of everything
exactly.
that we have that's in
yeah.
healthcare.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's listening to podcasts and listening to, like, some of the newest statistics on obesity.
She agrees.
Yeah.
She's, like, highly in agreement with this whole discussion.
So, yeah, and just, I think they, I would have to, I'm going to say it anyways, even though I would have to back it up, but, you know, the Department of Defense listed healthcare as one of the, kind of a actual threat to our, kind of, national security. The nation's health
really?
Because it just cost, as far as cost-wise, and how the threat to
the
actual
the budget,
population. Yeah. So
budget.
It's actually, it's a real thing. I mean, it's taking care of yourself is no longer just an elective thing. You really have to do it. You know, it's kind of becoming a requirement. And I think hopefully people
yeah.
are seeing that more nowadays and more so than ever.
Well, and it's nice to hear, like, you guys, I think, are taking a very progressive step where you're not just saying, sure, we can help you with that pain, we can help you with that issue, but really saying, we're going to teach you how to live better. And that, I think, is like that next wave of health professionals, where it's about education. Because, I mean, I was raised, in like alternative medicine, which we've talked about on the podcast before. So my mentality is that it's an ongoing education, but traditional medicine likes to just treat a symptom and be done with you for now. Or not traditional, modern medicine. So I think that what you're talking about is great. I mean, how often or how long does somebody stay a client for a particular issue? Like, do they come in for like a certain number of sessions with you, or?
I think on the way we do things is we have that 90-minute evaluation, and it's head to toe. Like, you might have a shoulder problem, but we will look at your foot, your ankle, your knee, because. We're really good at that in the healthcare system. Like, we screen for everything. When you come into a doctor, they take your blood pressure because we know that blood pressure is a forewarning sign of heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
They take your weight. They do those things. So we will do the exact same thing when it comes to movement. You have a shoulder problem, we'll look at your knee, your hip, your other shoulder, your neck, everything. And then from there, we give you a few things to work on, and we'll see people once a week, usually for like 4 or 5 times. And after that, usually things are going pretty well, and we say, continue with your exercises. You know everything that we needed to teach you for what's going on now. Come back if there's something that bothers you again, or if you're not making progress. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of how we set everything up.
Well, I definitely think maybe another future podcast would be one of the assessments. I would love to have
it's just
done.
Like
yeah.
I need
we'd love
assessment.
To do them
for sure. You know, I know, because I know we already talked about like some common ailments we're dealing with right now with this one down here
yes,
so
like,
as you can hear
cue.
Yep, so
that's definitely one of the things that for our marketing strategy. Go out to the gyms, tell the gyms that, hey, we'll take you through an assessment, and that way you know what we're doing as a healthcare provider, and not just blindly saying, oh, I'll refer you to this guy at Movement Upgraded. I don't know what he's about or anything, but that way you have a better understanding of what we're doing.
Yes.
So you can relay that to your clients.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and I'm down for that. We will definitely get that on the schedule.
Awesome.
Now, I want to give you guys a chance to kind of plug your business. We've already been doing that the whole time, but I want to make sure if anybody needs to get a hold of you guys, give all your contact information and website and stuff so they can make sure they can schedule that assessment with you guys.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Ryan Hostler at Movement Upgraded. We're located within Kodawari Yoga Studios right here in South Tampa. You can schedule appointments through the phone, 813-773-4017, or go to the Kodawari website or the movementupgraded.com website and schedule online.
And you can find us on Instagram at Movement Upgraded. And then we both have our own personal accounts as well. I'm just Jen Hostler. Ryan's Dr. Ryan Hostler. So we're pretty present on social media as well.
Yes. Like I said, that's how we discovered each other. And we'll share all this stuff. Obviously, when this episode comes out, we're going to be do all the show notes and everything like that to have all that contact information. And like I said, we've already talked about it. We are going to be coming back here for an assessment. We'll see how we can turn that into another podcast for sure. Because that would be cool because I'm excited
about that.
That
could be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So you got anything else for me today?
I don't think so. Thanks for putting up with a little...
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate
Thank
it, guys.
So much, guys.
This is another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast with Movement Upgraded. And we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.